Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing and an encouragement to you and to your family. Lord, help us this day as we spend a few moments together, speak to our hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to take your word, illuminate it in our hearts, our minds, our conscience. May we see the truth, and as you've promised us, Lord, may that truth make us free. Help us, Lord, this day. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs. I'm looking for biblical principles for practical living. I'm in chapter 21, verse 12. The Bible says this, "The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness." Now, this is an important verse. As a matter of fact, it's important for all ages, but particularly the young people. Those in high school, those young couples, it applies to all of us, certainly, but it has a special application, I think, or an urgency for the young people, because in our society today, we've allowed this country, whether we wanted it to or not, I say we as a country, but our society has adopted this philosophy of always looking to get more. We have this idea of this fairness. There are those in our society that believe that things are unfair and we must make them fair. And so they embark upon this effort to take from the haves and give to the have-nots. And they satisfy themselves in their mind thinking that they've done some great deed in making things fair. Well, the reality is life is not fair. It never has been, and it never will be. If life was fair, we'd all have the same disease or the lack thereof. We'd all live in the same kind of house. We'd all have the same education. Everything would be absolutely the same. And it's utter foolishness to expect life to be fair in the sense that the world is trying to promote this fairness. And it's just a basis of a lot of corruption, to be quite honest with you. But that aside, we have a society that has bought into this lie, that's not fair. And we want what the next guy has. We look at them with envy and jealousy. And we, as a society, even do the same thing that so many others. We say, that's not fair. And we begin to long to have what somebody else has. That's in this verse here, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Matthew Henry says about that verse, he says this, as we read this verse, it shows why good men, when they come to understand things aright, they will not envy the prosperity of evildoers. When they see the house of the wicked, how full it is of perhaps all the good things of life, they're tempted to envy. But when they wisely consider it, when they look upon it with an eye of faith, when they see God overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness, that there is a curse upon the habitation, which will certainly be a ruin of it before long, they see more reason to despise them or pity them than to fear and envy them. And those are the comments again by Matthew Henry. And basically what he's saying, you know, when the wise person considers the house of the wicked, and we look beyond just the peripheral things, just the showy things, and we look into all things. The Bible teaches us in the book of Psalm 37, and basically it's the entire chapter, but it deals with this same issue. Those who seemingly are in this life and they're prospering, they seemingly they have the Midas touch. They have all the things that so many of us want, and they seemingly have this endless reservoir of happiness, of fun, of money, of pleasure. And sometimes, and oftentimes, it begins to cause others to look upon that and say, boy, I wish I had those things. And we begin to pursue the same lifestyle that we think brings them all of these things. But what God is teaching us here in this verse is a principle that we need to look further than just the peripheral, just the veneer, the surface. We need to look beyond that and consider some things. And the Bible says that those who live these lifestyles that seemingly are full of fun and frolicking and all the pleasures of life, something behind the veneer is not right. And they live a life that is a life of often of wickedness, and God's going to judge that. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." In Psalm 37, again, verses 7 through 10, the Bible says, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." And God is teaching us here through this verse, these verses, that there's a lifestyle that looks like it's one to be desired. But in reality, it is a lifestyle that has God's judgment upon it, and judgment day will come. And so the wise person, when he looks beyond the veneer, he looks deeper than just the surface of the things and the minutiae of life, and he begins to see the reality of the situation. He ceases to envy them and want to be like them and want to have what they have, and he begins to, at the very least, pity and sometimes even despise the very lifestyle, not the individual, but the lifestyle, realizing that that lifestyle is a life built upon lies and fraud, and it's going to cause ruin to take place. In Psalm 37, verses 12 through 13, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." There is a judgment coming. In Psalm 37, verses 14 and 15, "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." Here what God is saying, that those who live these lifestyles, they think that they are going to exercise judgment, but yet judgment will come upon them. In Psalm 37 there, verses 35 and 36, "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." In verses 37 and 38, "Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off." And so God is teaching us a principle here in Proverbs 21:12. "The righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness." And what God is teaching us here is a very simple principle. Don't allow ourselves to begin to envy, to begin to be jealous over the lifestyle of so many who seemingly they don't do what we think it should be done. They don't have God in their lives. They don't pretend to be religious. They don't pretend to have faith. As a matter of fact, they openly and shamelessly despise those that would promote faith, and they seemingly are getting by with it. Their life is, on the surface at least, full of happiness and joy. But, you know, the wise man, when you begin to study their lives and you begin to study that lifestyle, you'll understand not too deep into the study that it is all a facade. It's a veneer. It's a lie. Everything the devil does is a lie. He's the father of the lies. That's all he ever does. He twists and he corrupts truth. And that's what he's doing here. And so the wise among us will look at these lifestyles and say, you know what? Yeah, it looks nice, but it's not nice. It looks like it's good, but it's not good. And God's judgment is coming upon that type of lifestyle, and I'll have nothing to do with it. Parents that are listening, we ought to make sure that we sit down with our children and read through this verse in Psalm 37 and teach them how to discern what is right and what's wrong. Teach them how to identify Satan's lies and how he promotes his false deception in society, and work with them and train them to identify the lies of Satan. He'll lie to everybody all the time. That's all he is a liar. And we need to be able to identify his lies, and he does it all the time. And he's got many who are chasing the enamor of the world, all the while listening to Satan's lies. And they've not looked deep enough into this lifestyle to realize it is a lifestyle that is full of lies and deceit. It's fraudulent. It's a lifestyle that's bringing ruin. It's wrecking homes. It's wrecking lives. It's causing hundreds of thousands, millions of people to be utterly miserable. And yet they look so happy. And so God's teaching us a great principle here. And the wise among us will take this and learn from it. The wise among us will also help our children to be able to identify this, because it is a great principle to learn to live by. And as life begins to unfold in this, in society here in America, this is, becomes more and more prevalent. And more children are enamored by the world, not realizing that they're looking at a lie. And that's what they're going to get. They're going to get the results of a lie. And may God help us to do this. Let's quickly look at one other verse. We'll drop down to verse 13. There's another principle here, and it's a timely principle. Won't spend a lot of time on it this morning. But the Bible says, "Whoso stoppeth his ear, or his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Here's a principle that's sort of frightening, to be honest with you. God says if we stop our ears at the cry of the poor, we shall cry ourselves, but we won't be heard. In other words, God's teaching us we ought to be a giving people. In Proverbs 28:27, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." And I realize we live in a day and age where so many are hurting, so many are in financial distress that no one individual or one church can help everybody. I understand that very much, so I understand that. But we ought to be sensitive. There are times in our life and when we have the ability to help, we ought to help those that God enables us to help and not feel bad when we can't help everybody. Nobody can help everybody. No one's responsible for helping everyone. But everybody should be able to help somebody as you have the opportunity. And that's what God's teaching us here. When we have the opportunity to help, we ought to help. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within thy gates, in which the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thy hand from the poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the year of release is at hand, and thy hand, and thine eye, excuse me, be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. So God's teaching us here a principle. The Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased." That word communicate doesn't mean communication like you and I mean it nowadays, conversing back and forth, but it means to partnership or to distribute, to share. To do good and to share, to distribute. Forget not. In other words, God said, don't do that. Don't forget to do that, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God is pleased when we choose to give of that which God has given to us. Proverbs 19:17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him will he pay him again." The Bible says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor." Many other verses in the Bible that we could look at concerning this topic, but it's a great time of the year. It's Christmas season, a time of giving, we often say, but there's some hurting folks. I don't believe we have the responsibility to buy everybody Christmas presents. But, you know, if you have a family that you know of that has a need, you know, help them out. I dare say everybody that's listening knows somebody who's laid off, somebody who has a family member who's laid off, somebody who has a difficult time they're experienced financially. Everybody that's listening knows somebody that could use some help. So maybe today God will speak to your heart and you can help those who need it. And then God says, when you need it, God says, I'll make sure you have the care that you need as well. What a great principle for us to be challenged on here in this Christmas season. May God help us to apply it as he would lead us. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.